The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
I'll ask you to be seated for this reading since it is lengthy, and we may have a better disposition for listening if we're seated and comfortable. There was a man who was ill named Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was now ill. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through him."
Come out, take the stone away, come out. Take the stone away, come out.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him."
He said this, and then he told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I am going to awaken him." And so his disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus went on to say clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him."
"Take the stone away, come out. Take the stone away, come out."
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world."
"Take the stone away, come out. Take the stone away, come out.
When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had first met him. And so the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, and they followed her, presuming that she was going to weep at the tomb. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
Take the
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it.
"Take the stone away, come out, come out. Take the stone away, come out."
And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." But Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth."
"Take the stone away, come out, come out. Take the stone away, come out. Take the stone away, come out, come out. Take the stone away, come out."
The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews had come to Mary and seen what he had done, began to believe in him.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This long Gospel reading comes from the 11th chapter in the Gospel of John. And let me just pause for speak for a few moments about the scriptures. I had a fellow this week, a dog trainer, teaching me how to train my dog a little bit, and he kept quoting scripture. He was talking more to me about Jesus than talking to the dog about how to manage the dog. But he was telling me the third chapter of Ephesians and the fourth chapter over here, and it struck me that he really knows. Whether we agree with him or not, he really knows his scripture. He comes from some community church. And it struck me that we really don't concentrate as much on the Word of God. So I like to begin my homilies with some background and some insight into an understanding of the context of the Word of God. So let me look at this in terms of the 11th chapter here in the book of John. He says it's a sign. John never calls these miraculous events miracles. He calls them signs. And he has seven signs. Remember this. Way back when, a few weeks ago, the first sign, Cana in Galilee, water becomes wine. He said it's a sign. And the second sign was he cures the royal official's son. And the third sign is a man in Jerusalem who is sick for 38 years. The fourth sign and the fifth sign are up in Galilee, up in the north. The multitude, feeding of the multitude, calming of the waters. And number six sign is chapter 9, the man born blind. Long story. It's a sign. And then this, the greatest of the seven signs. He raises Lazarus from the dead. Now that's remarkable. Even though, read the synoptic gospels and you'll find he raises the son of the widow at Nain. The man had just died. And the daughter of Jairus raises her from the dead. She had just died. But Lazarus, he's really dead because he's been dead for 4 days. And the Jews had this rabbinic belief that after 3 days, the soul left the body and the body entered into putrefaction and the soul did not recognize the face and therefore the soul left. That's important. So John says he's dead for 4 days, which means he is really dead. The soul is gone. And now this extraordinary miracle, a sign, Jesus raises him from the dead. It's also quite remarkable because this spectacular event, the most extraordinary event in the whole Gospel of John, is not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Not only that, but what is more remarkable is after Jesus raises Lazarus, the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jews, all get together and they say, if we don't stop him now, people will all start, all the people will follow him. And therefore, Caiaphas, the high priest, stands up and he says, don't you understand? It is necessary for one man to die in order to save the people. It became the Caiaphas principle. We all follow it. All politicians will say, I don't care about the 5%. If I get 85, 90%, 5% don't matter. That's the Caiaphas principle. And Caiaphas, the high priest, says it here. And because of what Jesus did, the text in John's Gospel here will tell you, they plotted to kill him because of this extraordinary miracle. And yet, the reason for killing him is anchored into this miracle, and yet it's not mentioned in the other three Gospels. That makes it quite remarkable for scholars, and lots of theories about why that is so. So we have this sign. What does it mean to us? It's a sign. It's pointing us to something else. I'll take you back to chapter 3 there in the Gospel of John, and you'll remember Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very powerful member of the Sanhedrin, socially very important. He was a rich man. He had everything. And yet, John's Gospel says he comes to Jesus by night. Now, in John's Gospel, that doesn't mean after dark. It means he is in darkness. Like he has everything in his life. And yet, his life is empty. He's in darkness. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, you must be born again. You must be reborn. Reborn in the Spirit. Your soul must be reborn. You must be called into new life. You're living in darkness. I don't care if you're rich, you're famous, you're powerful, you're important. You are living in chaos, in darkness. You must be reborn. Jesus, the source of life. That's the sign. Read on there in the third chapter of John's Gospel, and we have that famous John 3:16 quoted very frequently. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that those who believe may not die, but will have life, eternal life. The theme of John's Gospel is always the sign points you to the source of life. Now, in the text you just heard here, when Jesus is in Bethany, which is across the Jordan, and they say, he says, I'm going to go back. I'm glad I wasn't there when Lazarus died, so that you may believe. And then when Jesus prays before he calls Lazarus, you have heard it right here now, he says, Father, I thank you for you always hear me, but I say this now so that they may believe. It's a call to believe that Jesus is the source of life. And if you want to live a full life, somehow you turn to the Lord. So let me look at that by way of practical living. There's a fellow called Buckminster Fuller. Now, all people in the engineering and architectural world will know about Buckminster Fuller. He died in 1983. He was 89 years old. He was 88 years old when he died. Well, he liked to tell this story when he became a very famous person. When he was 32 years old, he was very depressed. He was despondent. He had no meaning in his life. Lost his job. His little girl, child, had died. He was very guilty about that. And he was living in Chicago, and he decided he was going to kill himself because there was no meaning to life. He liked to tell this story. So he went down by Lake Michigan and he was going to kill himself. And then he stopped and he said, "What happens if I said to myself, I had just died and I came back to life? How would I live a new life? So why don't I just say, I have died and I'm reborn and I'll go and live a new life?" It's as if I was given a new life, called forth from the tomb of chaos, darkness, and discouragement. And he went back and he became a famous architect, a famous engineer. He was the one who designed the geodesic dome. And he became an extraordinary fellow and went on to be celebrated internationally. And a long life. He died when he was 88. But he decided that he was going to live as if he had died and he came back to life. That's a Lazarus moment. So what does this mean to us? Well, some people are very despondent because of great grief or sickness or some heavy burden in life. And they need to be reborn somehow. They need to place it into context and see the weaving of God, a divine providence which is mysterious. On the other hand, I meet people all the time who are only half alive. They're whining, they're moaning, the Pope isn't okay, the politics isn't okay, the church isn't okay, my wife isn't okay, my children disappoint me, my husband is something. I don't know. But there's nothing wrong about, everything about life is wrong. And I'm saying, my God, you're only half alive. You're going to bring me down with you. You drag people down. And then you meet other people who are alive. They're fully alive. They're grateful for the blessings they have. They count their blessings. They celebrate the goodness of their lives. They give thanks for the people who love them in their lives. They're just grateful people. They're fully alive. It's as if they died and they were called back to life. Followers of Jesus Christ are meant to be people who are fully alive. I know there's a lot wrong with the church, but you can't go out there and say to other people, "Would you like to join a community of depression, a group of whiners? People who are upset and they're angry and everything. Come on over. We'll make your life worse than you are right now." How would you like to say, you know, we've all got problems. We've all got issues. But we're alive. That's the meaning of this gospel. Jesus says, come out of the tomb. You're living in darkness. What is it that's weighing you down? What anxiety do you have in your life? See the power of Jesus Christ in your life to bring you to the fullness of life. You smile. You've heard me say this before. I divide people into two kinds. You know, there's one kind of a person, when you're around them for a while and they leave, you say, "Shh, thank God I survived." You know, they drag you down, they're whining, they're moaning, they're complaining, and say, "I say, God of mercy, they're going to drag me down." And then there's the other kind of a person that when you're around them, they give you life. You feel good. It's good to be around them. They tell stories, they sing, they celebrate, they give thanks. Oh, I like being around these people because they give me life. The meaning of this gospel: Jesus is the source of life. If you follow Jesus Christ, you are meant to praise God, to be optimistic, to go into the world and celebrate God's presence in your life. You are meant to console those who are carrying burdens, to welcome people, to not be fearful. Immigrant people, people who are struggling in life. To help people, to bless people, to console people, to make meaning out of your life. Not the selfish, inward looking, but to say, let Jesus Christ call you out of a tomb of fear, out of a place of anxiety. I meet people all the time, we're afraid what's going to happen to our country, oh my God, what's going to happen? Hey,
I was talking to my tax accountant last year, and he said, you know, you don't need any long-range planning, Monsignor. You've got 10 years max. That made me feel very good, you know. At least I've got, if he can guarantee me 10 years. But he said, I can't guarantee it, but that's max. And I said, wow, Jesus, God, thank you. I'm glad. This makes my day right here, you know. So, hey, let the word of God bring you to life. Go out and celebrate your life. God has blessed you. God calls you to new life. That's the meaning of the gospel. And my friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.